is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
It's a great day to be alive, and it's a great day to be a better. Welcome inside to the VSiN Studios here at the Circa Resort and Casino in downtown Las Vegas. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi here on this Friday morning where the NFL has released its schedule, and boy, we got a lot to unpack. Michael, how are we doing this morning?
Well, we're doing good. You know, I mean, as a 76er fan my whole life, it's another walk in paradise. I've seen this movie before, so it's a good day. I fully recognize it, and we move forward and go on. It's great to have the NFL schedule to talk about. You know, it's awesome to see these games. I'm of the opinion, when you look at the schedule, you know, just take week one and go from there. I don't get too much into down the road because we don't know how good these teams are or how bad these teams will be. So That's a great part. And I thought the Nuggets were sensational last night. So that's my recap of my evening last night.
Yeah, no, that's right in line with my recap as well. I tried to do as much schedule work as I could, and I had the basketball games on in the background. I did watch the end of that Sixers-Celtics game, which we'll get into in the next segment. I watched that over dinner last night, having dinner on the couch.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, that was lovely. The dinner was much better than the Sixers' performance. I'll just put it that way.
especially when they quit with 8 minutes down eight with 2 minutes to go. Even Doris Burke said
she was calling.
You know, they're walking up and down the court. You know, she called him out. God bless her. I love her for doing that. Yeah.
That's not a great look there for the Philadelphia 76ers and what was the biggest game in about 20 plus years in that organization.
Nah, no worries.
And you know, hey. Now they got to go play seven in Boston. But we're going to have fun, though. We're going to put a smile on our faces, though. We don't have to worry about the Sixers.
I'm happy as hell. I couldn't be happier. You know, I couldn't be happier. I was fully prepared. Nothing's going to deter that. Nothing's going to ruin my happiness when it comes to that. I'm fully vested. People accuse me, you're really not a fan. Yes, I am. I'm a realistic fan, and so I understand it. So life goes on, you know? Life goes on. We could talk. There's much more to talk about than the plight of mine. I've been to rehab 5 times for the 76ers. I understand it now. I'm good.
You're at the point to where they can't hurt you anymore, which is a healthy spot to be.
They can't hurt me. They can't. Yeah. No, I find my love in other places. Trust me, I do. I do.
Well, we love the show that we have on deck here. We're going to talk a lot of NFL schedule, AFC first hour, NFC in the second hour. We do have two fantastic guests with us as well. Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame sports book runner over there at the South Point Hotel and Casino, odds maker. He'll be joining us 60 minutes from now. Matt Eumanns, VSiN host of VSiN Tonight. I know Matt Eumanns, Wes Reynolds, Dave Ross last night were breaking down the schedule as that came out there, giving out their thoughts. We'll get Matt Eumanns' thoughts and how he has kind of analyzed the schedule now that we've had one sleep to kind of digest it and to really massage the schedule and figure out where the pitfalls are for some of these teams and where the advantageous spots are as well. But make sure to hang out with us. Tweet at the show, at VSiN Live on Twitter, at M. Lombardi NFL is where you can find Michael, at Femi Abebefe is where you can find me. And Michael, let's get right into this schedule, and we'll talk about the games of the year. I know you like to look at week one and take it from there week to week because it's a week-to-week league, but, you know, with the schedule, we figured that we would look at the broader spectrum here and take a look at some of the games that we'll have down the line. Season opener, we knew that one yesterday in the afternoon, Lions and the Chiefs. But how about week number one? You get Monday Night Football, Rodgers hosting the Bills, and you also get Tom Brady returning to Foxborough, not as a player, but he will be there for Tom Brady weekend as the Eagles take on the Patriots in Foxborough.
A lot of Tom Brady news today, too, Femi. You kind of glossed over it. I mean, Adam Schefter and Seth Wickersham both pretty wired into that element there. It talks about maybe, perhaps, Tom Brady could become a limited partner in the Las Vegas Raiders. You might have to give up a bedroom to let Tom stay with you there, Femi. But that would be a great thing for the Raiders, I think. Certainly, I know that Tom would do – I think Tom wants to keep his involvement in football, so that's good. But, yeah, I mean, I think for the Patriots, the opening with the Eagles couldn't be a better situation because it gives you a chance to prepare. One of the things I look at when I look at the schedule is there's certain teams in the league that are hard to prepare for on a regular week. the Kansas City Chiefs, understanding Mahomes and how to play them, understanding how Andy Reid calls the game, Spagnuolo's complicated, kind of unorthodox defense. There's certain teams that become harder to play on a week, even if it's a long week, even if you have 7 days to get ready. The Eagles are a hard team to prepare for from a scheme standpoint, but also from the speed of the game. They scored 207 points in the second quarter. So you need to spend time in training camp kind of getting ready for that. That's what training camp's about. Training camp isn't about just who do you open up with. Training camp is working on things that have to be settled down the road for the season to be effective. And I that's how I look at the schedule. So to me, week one, I think, you know, those are certainly games. I love the fact that we put the Lions in week one. I mean, I didn't see it coming, but if they're going to play their best game, it's got to be that one.
Yeah, it's a big chance for the Lions to send a statement to the rest of the NFL. If they could keep that game competitive or even win that game, that would be quite the accomplishment for Detroit, even though it's early on in the season.
Oh, my God. If they win that game, the narrative will be unbelievable. We might as well just give them the trophy if they win that game.
Hang the banner.
I mean, seriously, could you imagine that? Yeah.
They'll hang the banner in Kansas City. Then right after, if the Lions win, they'll hang another banner in Detroit for them beating the Kansas City Chiefs. I think it's going to be a fantastic game. It's going to be a lot of points, according to the betting market, 53.5 the total. Some spots have it at 54. But from a more broader standpoint here, before we even get into some of these games of the year in depth, the teams right now, what are they doing? As like they got their schedules. I mean, they got the schedules about a week ago or so, so they can put their Twitter videos together.
No, they didn't. They just got their schedules. I think most of the teams got their schedules Wednesday afternoon, noon, and they were sworn to secrecy. And no. So I think on a Wednesday afternoon, what you do, okay, let's take the Giants, for example. The Giants now looked at their schedule and said, okay, if you're Brian Daboll, we play Arizona on a away game on Sunday. Then we play San Francisco on a Thursday. That's a challenging week, right? Arizona game, not so much. But now you know your operations department is we're going to stay out there. We're not flying back to New York, then flying to San Francisco. So now you have a chance to bond your true team. Right. So you could spend time. Oh, where are we going to stay in Arizona? This gives us a great opportunity to kind of bond our team together. The Patriots stayed at the University of Arizona last year after beating Arizona. Then they went to Las Vegas. So that's kind of a normal routine. And you see for these variances in their schedule that you can do it. People say, well, they're going to be on the road. The Giants, they have so many road games to start their season. True. But this bonding of the team can really be beneficial down the road.
So then how in the world, because you said that they got their schedules Wednesday afternoon, how did these teams do these crazy production videos on social media that are like 5-6 minutes long? Because I'm sure you've been seeing them on Twitter, the NFL teams, they put out like, hey, we did this for our schedule release. So like, can they flip that around in like 12 hours?
Like, I watched the one on the Raiders. They never gave the schedule out, though.
Yeah, that's
I watched that. They never gave the schedule. They never said who they were playing. They just basically said, okay, the schedule's out, and they went to a Xerox machine, and they Xeroxed a bunch of papers. They didn't know what was on it. So I truly think that they don't – nobody really – look, there was a debate whether they were even going to have the schedule.
There was.
The release show. There was a little talk because there was some conflict. But I think the other amazing factor of the fact that they can make videos is the books can give us lines.
Yeah,
I mean, to me, that was the most amazing thing of all is the books giving us lines so quickly on that. I was shocked by that. I mean, you know, the Chiefs are a 7-point favorite against the Lions in opening game. You know, the Patriots are 3.5. And then to see the Lions be reacted to, right? The Jets went from 3 down to 1.5. You know, I think the Eagles were 4.5 and they went down to 3.5. So, I mean, that to me is also fascinating.
No, it's really fascinating. People can bet into these games, especially the week one games. You can bet into the ones that are further on down the line there, but, I mean, do that carefully because we don't know what's going to happen with injuries and all that stuff, the natural attrition of the NFL season. But the week one markets are out there for all 16 games in week number one there. You mentioned that movement that we saw Monday Night Football, Bills 3-point favorite. Some places even had 3.5. Now they're down to 1.5, even a pick at some spots there, which I think is the more appropriate number. Super Bowl rematch later on in November, Eagles Chiefs, Kansas City, 3-point favorites in that game. I mean, we got a lot of great games here on this schedule. Black Friday, Dolphins Jets, first ever Black Friday game as the NFL continues to take over our holidays.
I love it. I love it. I mean, look, we're used to college football on Thursday, on Friday afternoon. Now we get an NFL game. You know, I mean, it couldn't be better. I mean, I love the Amazon schedule, too. I thought the Thursday schedule was much better than it's been in the past. So, yeah, I mean, look, to me, the stories will be compelling. And, of course, they've got Aaron Rodgers and they've got their team. And we'll see how well they play once he gets there. But, you know, you got to believe that. That's going to continue to go through and everybody's going to be excited about it. I mean, I love the fact that we have holidays in football. I mean, look, the NFL saw the NBA kind of take advantage of Christmas Day. They just said, no, we'll handle that from here on out.
Yeah, we'll go ahead and take it from here. How about the breakdown of the primetime games? So we have the four teams, the Chiefs, Chargers, Bills, and Cowboys, six primetime games. We have four teams who have zero primetime games and a bunch all in between with seven teams with five primetime games as well here. You satisfied with the breakdown of the games that will be in the island spots?
I mean, look, the one surprise was the Colts, because with Anthony Richardson's kind of athleticism, I thought maybe they might give them a game. You know, but with, you know, Arizona without Kyler Murray, how about their 4.5 win total? Mm-hmm. We've got the Falcons with, you know, no quarterback, or if they do have one, we're not sure. Let me say this: if the Falcons would have gone after Lamar Jackson, they wouldn't have zero games, right?
They'd have four,
right? They'd have four or five. And you know, the Texans, C.J. Stroud, a young quarterback, their team's not very good. Washington, to me, is another one. I mean, one game. Now, Washington's 8-8-1 last year, as I wrote about on VSiN. Like, they have a chance to be a better team than that, but do you trust their coach? Do you trust their quarterback? Both unknowns.
Yeah, Washington, that big of a market to only have one primetime game. That shows you how the NFL feels about the Commanders heading into the season, but I think they're being slept on just a little bit here. The one I have a gripe with is Tampa Bay. Tampa Bay has two primetime games. I'm not sure why. Baker Mayfield,
sure
Kyle
either.
Trask, I don't know what we're doing there. Like we could have at least given Washington one more and then maybe give Tampa one primetime game, or my preferred option, give Tampa zero primetime games. We'll get into
I'm on the Tampa under total for sure, so I would agree with you on that.
100%. We'll get into more of the schedule coming up later on this hour, but on the other side, let's talk about the NBA here on the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get a daily email recapping all the best bets from our show hosts and guests. You'll also get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. Sort picks by sport, matchup, event, date, and more. Check the top VSiN experts leaderboard to view betting records, profit, and ROI, and see which VSiN expert has the hot hand. For VSiN Pro picks, betting splits, power ratings, plus 24/7 video access, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. Sign up now for only $9.99 at VSiN.com/subscribe. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line, presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. We're hanging out here on this Friday morning. Michael, it is now 10-9-8 game 76ers after the Sixers lost last night in game 6 to the Boston Celtics. Boston winning 95-86. That fourth quarter, because I was stuck in traffic, there was an accident. Hopefully everybody's okay. Accident on 95 North, making the commute because I was doing VSiN primetime last night. So I'm heading home. I'm like, all right, at least I'll be able to catch the second half. I don't get back home until the fourth quarter. Game is tight. It's like 81-81. Felt like it was 81-81 for about 5 minutes of game time. Sixers, they just go cold in that game in the fourth quarter there as Boston, Jason Tatum struggled early on, but heat up late on that game. And the Celtics going back home for a game 7 on Sunday.
They scored 30 points in the third quarter. They came back with a fourth quarter of 13 points. I mean, the last 5 minutes, your MVP touched the ball twice. Didn't want the ball, really looked like it. He said they weren't, you know, they didn't get him the ball. I mean, they looked out of sorts. Harden was kind of, nobody could make a shot. If Maxey wasn't playing as well as he did, it might not have been as close. But to me, the most disturbing thing was what Doris Burke said. I mean, with down 8 with about 2 minutes to go, they're walking up and down the court. So, look, Tatum is, as he said after the game, he's one of the best players in the league. He was going to eventually get hot. The fact that the Sixers had such a great opportunity to win this game with Tatum not playing well, Horford can't make it a shot, you know, they had everything going for them, even though they weren't shooting well, is rather disappointing. It became the 32nd game in Doc Rivers' career that he had a chance to eliminate the other team and lost. He's 17-32 in elimination games. That's not too good, I don't think, Femi.
No, now, it's bad.
You know, as a Sixer fan, you know, you got to feel encouraged because he's 6-9 in game sevens, you know, and he's lost the last four. So there's hope here.
It feels like just like such a blown opportunity. And I was watching some of the post game coverage of it on ESPN, and think about whatever those guys feel like, or however you feel about those guys, whatever. But I thought they actually said it correctly. Like, this was a devastating loss for the Philadelphia 76ers. Now, how do they respond after that? We'll find out Sunday afternoon. But man, to think you have not been to the conference final since 2001, and here you are at home. The crowd is absolutely electric. Everybody is wanting to will you guys to that round. Embiid has never been to a conference finals. And to lay an egg like that in the second half, I mean, it's just, it falls into every narrative that's been about this team over this Embiid Doc era over the last handful of years.
Well, that goes back before Doc, too. The team has no – I mean, I've been saying it for five. They don't have mental toughness. They don't have a very mentally tough team. I text somebody in the league before the game. I said, there's no way they'll win. They don't have enough mental toughness. I mean, it's obvious to me when things get tough, you know, when things get hard, they're not there to respond. They don't meet the challenge. And it's partly the organization, the way they have been kind of catered to and pampered. Oh, you need a day off. No worries. I mean, I thought Spoelstra had, you know, it's one thing about I love the Heat, the way they do it. Spoelstra had a great line. You know, it said that the Miami Heat, we found that this to me is sums up the difference between the two teams. We found the value in the grind of the regular season and the grind in the struggle. We found beauty in the struggle. Without the struggle, we had to find solutions to win. We didn't do that in the regular season. You have zero chance to do it in the playoffs. This goes back to a little bit of what I was talking about when the schedule comes out. You have to do things in training camp to prepare you for the regular season. This struggle that Spoelstra's talking about is that mental toughness that you've got to fight your way through. Philly's never had it. I don't think they'll ever have it as long as they run the organization the way they do. And, you know, to me, they just let one slip away. It was really embarrassing. The fact that 8 minutes to go, they're walking up and down the court. I think Philly fans saw it.
I don't know if they still do this, but you mentioned that training camp struggle. The Miami Heat, I know when LeBron and Wade and Bosch were there, they would have their training camp at like a military base. Like, they would make it like a difficult training camp. And that's Pat Riley. That's Eric Spoelstra. That's like that Heat culture that they talk about that people can roll their eyes at because it's kind of become like a slogan onto itself there. But it's real, the Heat culture. And you don't see that with these other teams, whether it's Philly or even Boston. I mean, Boston, they were right there with their season on the line. And through three quarters, it's like, are they just going to lose this series? Like, this was a team that was sought as the title favorite heading into this round. And luckily, Tatum had the performance that he had. Here's Tatum after the game that you mentioned him. After the game, Jason Tatum on being able to come through in the clutch and force this game seven.
I'm one of the best basketball players in the world. You know, go through struggles, go through slumps. It's a long game. And, you know, thankful I got some great teammates that held it down. Brogdon, JB, Smart, Al. And they all trust me, right? They tell me, keep taking great looks. It's going to fall. Keep impacting the game in other ways. And all that mattered was we won this game, right? Give ourselves another chance, come back home, you know, for game seven.
You know, the point that you bring up about mental toughness, I think, and Tatum, he's not one of the, like, two or three best guys, but he's definitely in the six or seven best guys in the NBA to struggle in those first three quarters and to continue to take shots and to continue to be there for your team, I thought really shone through in that fourth quarter.
It's almost like the Sixers thought they were going to fold their tents. I mean, Boston's a resiliently tough team. I mean, I'm not saying Mazzulla's done a great job coaching this team because I don't think he has. But they have. I mean, Al Horford took over the coaching last night. You could see it on the bench. I mean, Al Horford was the coach. I mean, he wasn't playing well. He can't make a shot, but he took over the coaching. He kind of was the driving force. And Brogdon, to me, is one of their best. I don't know why he doesn't play 40 minutes. They played him 30 last night. You know, to me, he kind of gets them going. And this Philly team, well, Tucker makes them tough for all that. They don't. They're two best players to kind of like just. I mean, Embiid turned the ball over what, eight times, four times in the game. Harden had five. They had 11 turnovers, and their two best players had nine of them. So, I mean, to me, I thought she was right. I mean, it's been this way all along. They've never had to go through obstacles. I mean, if they lose on Sunday, the second round again, I mean, where are they going? Where are they going? The thing that I love is nobody brings this up. Doc doesn't play house most of the year. He's sequestered to the bench. He's plays Niang.
Yep.
He plays Milton. He plays everybody else but House. But now when it's the most critical time of the year, he's putting House in the game.
Save me.
Right, because I say this all the time. Doc cares more about regular season wins than he does preparing his team for the playoffs. That's what he cares. He wants to get in the Hall of Fame for regular season wins. He doesn't want to prepare his team for the playoffs. If you thought House could help you, then you got to get him straightened out. If you think McDaniel could help you, he didn't play McDaniel. I mean, McDaniel was the first guy off the bench. He wasn't playing him. Like, it just makes – this is every year. It makes no sense when he gets to the most crucial games. His rotation changes completely. This is where we found Maxey 2 years ago. Maxey didn't play most of the season, and then all of a sudden when he needed him in the playoffs, he put him out there, and all of a sudden Maxey responded. Like, and no one calls him out on it.
Yeah, well, if you do call him out, he'll lecture you at the press conference and say, you want to coach my team for me? Do you want to set the rotations for me? Doc is an interesting character, and there's going to be a lot of storylines about Doc heading into this game. I think we'll get into those tomorrow morning. I do want to ask you, though, about this Nuggets-Suns game. An absolutely embarrassing performance by Phoenix. This is now the second straight year, Michael, that they've been down 30 points in an elimination game at home at halftime. Yeah. At halftime. Yeah. They lose the game 125 to 100, but it was worse than that.
Yeah, it was. But, I mean, look, I think we say this all the time. In a seven-game series, the best team usually finds a way to win. And I think Phoenix ran out of gas, Femi. I think they ran out. They have no bench. Chris Paul, another year he misses playoff games, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, how many more of those are he going to – I mean, past performance predicts future achievement. You know it, right? So you know he's going to miss it. To me, I just think it's, you know, look – Phoenix was, they have two of the best players in the world, and they don't have enough around them. I mean, that's the reality. They're going to have to retool their team.
Isn't it funny that throughout the regular season, the discourse about the MVP, and everybody was saying, well, you can't give it to Jokic for a third straight year because he doesn't have the playoff success. Mind you, Jokic has been to a conference finals. He did it when they were in the bubble, but he made it. They were saying, it's got to be Giannis, it's got to be Embiid. Well, Giannis is at home. He got bounced out by an 8 seed in 5 games. Embiid is now a 7-point dog in a game 7. Jokic now is chilling, waiting for the Lakers and the Warriors in the conference finals. And his team, oh, by the way, has home court advantage. And yesterday, 32 points, 10 rebounds, 12 assists.
And
he should be
the
MVP.
I ask you this question. If I were the 76ers general manager and I said, I'll trade you Embiid for Jokic, what are you doing?
I'll say, hey, sign me up. I'll take Jokic. Sign me up today.
No, I'm trying to trade you Embiid for Jokic. You're saying no to me, correct?
Hell no, you're saying no, right? No, yeah. I thought you were saying I was the Sixers.
Then how is he the MVP? He's the third seed. They're not going to get out of the Eastern Conference. Well, it's not his fault. They didn't get him the ball. Let me ask you one thing. There's not one great player who doesn't demand the ball. You don't think Barkley would have wanted the ball?
He would have found a way to get the ball. He would have found a way. Yeah, I don't understand what's going
on. He's a great talent.
Yeah.
He is a great talent. But he underachieves.
Yeah, and that's why he might be going home in the second round once again. We'll find out later this weekend. Let's talk some NFL regular season schedule on the other side. It's the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Before you make your next bet, be sure to visit VSiN.com to check the current betting splits data. Want to know where the money and bets are moving every game? The betting splits page is updated with DraftKings odds every 10 minutes, so you can see changes in all the action. Find out where the public is betting based on the number of tickets and where the money doesn't match the public opinion. You can check out not just today's action, but future events as well. Betting splits are another way. VSiN is here to make you a smarter, better year-round. Check out today's betting splits for every game at VSiN.com. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi hanging out here on a Friday morning. I'm in Las Vegas. Michael Lombardi, of course, out in the great state of New Jersey, where he's been back for a couple of weeks now. You're back into your routine, buddy. You're feeling good?
It feels good, too. Yeah, I got it going. Yeah, it feels good.
I see. Yeah, you got the T-shirt on and everything. And I mean,
it's warm here today. It's warm today. It's awesome.
Sure, the temperature in that room is warm.
Go for a bike ride on the boardwalk. Yeah, and go for a bike ride on the boardwalk. It's awesome. You know, there's a lot of good things in the air. It's always a good place to visit, you know? It's nice. This is the perfect time of the year.
Right as you left, it feels like the temperature in Vegas like cranked up about 15 degrees because it feels like summertime out here now. It's like 88, 90 degrees.
It was cold when I was there. It was cold, man.
I'll admit it.
It was brutal. I was sick almost the whole time I was there because the weather kept getting cold. I should have been back in Jersey.
Yeah, there's some 60-degree days, which I'm sure people in colder parts of the country are like, we don't want to hear about your damn 60-degree cold days. But, hey, for us out here in Vegas, that's cold. But it's gotten back to what we normally around in the month of May. And because it's the month of May, hey, the NFL, they find ways to capture every single month of the calendar. And they did it once again last night, releasing all 272 games of the 2023 regular season schedule. And we're going to go division by division, breaking these things down. And I want to start this segment off AFC East and the AFC West. Mm-hmm. When you look at the AFC East, a lot of primetime games in that division. You have the Bills, the Jets, the Dolphins, the Patriots, all marquee teams heading into this regular season. After you saw last night's schedule, you've gotten a chance to kind of break things down here. Do you have any revised thoughts on these teams' win totals with Buffalo leading the way at 10.5?
You know, I just think the Jets are closer to Buffalo in terms of talent. But when you go over Buffalo's draft and, you know, and just reading between the lines, I think this Dalton Kincaid kid that they drafted as a tight end is going to be more of an F. Line him up outside. They'll keep Dawson Knox at tight. I think they're going to be a 12 team, one back, two tight ends. And when you go over their draft, they hit every need that I see that they needed. They drafted the Cyrus Torrance kid, the kid from Louisiana Lafayette who transferred to Florida, mm-hmm. the guard. They needed more physicality inside. They drafted, you know, the linebacker from Tulane, Doran Williams, and then they drafted Kincaid, you know, so that they hit everything they needed to, because if they're going to be better than the Jets, they got to be able to play with more physicality in their offensive line. They can't rely on this big guy named Josh Allen to run the ball. So I think that's a little closer. I don't know why there's a one-game gap. Obviously, the Jets have to prove themselves with Rodgers. You know, Miami's the enigma because of the health of Tua. I think Vic Fangio will make a huge difference getting Jalen Ramsey down there, and especially where they can roll the coverage to Xavier Howard now. He's been a liability for them. I think that's going to be interesting. And I think New England had a really good draft, and I think that they're going to have to prepare quickly. One of the things that hurt New England last year is they lost to Chicago was their inability to handle six-back offense, the quarterback movement plays. And now they've got, you know, they drafted a little bit towards that. You know, the kid they drafted from Sacramento, you know, is a kind of a big safety linebacker. They've kind of gone through their offseason that way. And so they're going to get tested right away with a really good Philadelphia team. So, I mean, obviously week one doesn't determine the season, but the scheduling is hard because the AFC has a lot of good quarterbacks, and then they play the NFC East.
You know, the New York Jets schedule is really interesting. I know we've been putting up the schedules for the viewing audience there, and what's up? We see you guys over on the DraftKings Network and YouTube TV and every other platform that you can go ahead and view us. But for the listening audience, I wanted to read off the New York Jets' first 6 weeks because this is kind of what we could see coming once they traded for Aaron Rodgers. You knew the league with these trendy teams that everybody is excited about that have put together a new quarterback. They like to put them in primetime early on and get those really good matchups right off the bat to create that excitement throughout the offseason. Week one, they host the Buffalo Bills Monday Night Football. Week two, at Dallas. Week three, host New England. Week four, Sunday Night Football hosting Kansas City. Week five, at Denver. Tough trip going from New York all the way to the altitude. And then week six, you host the Philadelphia Eagles. Then you get your bye week. It's not out of the realm of possibility, Michael, that they could lose four games in those first 6 weeks. Now, they could win four, but this is a really, really tricky start to the season for the Jets.
I mean, look, the Jets are going to – every team in the AFC, I don't think – I mean, the Patriots' opening schedule is hard, too. I think everybody's got hard schedules because they're playing against – you know, you got the two best quarterbacks in the NFC you're playing against in Dak and Hurts, and then you're playing, you know, the AFC opponents. So there's no gimme putts. And then they've got the Chargers, you know, out there, and, you know, that'll be a challenge. Every schedule you look at is what quarterback am I playing against, you know? Like, so when you take it, okay, the Jets – they face Josh Allen, Dak Prescott, Mac Jones. Okay, there's a break, but maybe Mac Jones is better. Then we got Mahomes. Then we got Russell Wilson. Maybe a break. Then we got Hurts, you know, and then we have a bye. I mean, and then we come back against the Giants. You know, it's a home game, but, okay, Daniel Jones, maybe a break. Herbert, not a break, you know, Garoppolo. Then you go back to Josh. So it's hard. It's going to be hard. And the fact they play Miami in the second half of the season might be a benefit because we don't know where Tua is going to be at that point. Will he be healthy? Is he going to be okay? We hope so, but who knows?
And one thing with the Jets' schedule at the end, they end their last four games, three road games, so three of their last four away from the Meadowlands, their final two at Browns, at Patriots on the road as well. So if they don't win that division and they have to go into the playoffs road throughout, you already have two road games to end the season. That's going to be very, very difficult to get to a Super Bowl, which are the expectations in New York. Yeah. Quick note on you wanted to make a point here?
Well, but I think the two road games, one thing about Rodgers, I mean, if Tua would have had at Cleveland, at New England, end his season, I would say, wait a minute, that's not a good way. Rodgers is so used to playing in cold weather, I don't think it's going to affect him.
Yeah, no, the weather's not going to affect him at all. It's just maybe just the being out of your routine and the rigors of the road and all that stuff. But once you get to that point, maybe those games aren't as tough as it all seems right now. Buffalo, they end the season rather tough as well here, because you go all the way for Buffalo's schedule from week 11 on, hosting the Jets, at the Eagles, bye week, at the Chiefs, host Dallas, at the Chargers, host New England, at Miami. That could be tricky for the Bills as well to end the season, where the Bills, like you said, you think the Jets are a little closer to this team than the market is indicating. Maybe if they don't get off to a good start, it could be trouble on the horizon for Buffalo.
Well, and, you know, Buffalo's got a little bit more continuity than the Jets. That's what makes the Jets' start of the season so important. They've got to be in rhythm, right? They got to be able to, you know, that's what worries me about, like, a young team like Green Bay. They're not in rhythm. They're kind of, there's a lot of moving parts. You know, when you have a new coordinator come in, and then, well, Hackett and Rodgers kind of know each other, so that doesn't affect you as much. But some of these teams with a lot of changes, the start of the season, you got to be ready to go. You got to do a good job of preparing your team to play. Like, that's a question. I know we want to get to the NFC East, but that's a question. Like, the Rams, can the Rams go through their non-practicing element that they do out in Los Angeles because they don't want to get anybody hurt? They got so many young players. How do you get young players ready to play if you're not going to practice?
Yeah, doesn't seem like that's possible there. And you look at the odds for the AFC.
That's what LaFleur will do, too. That's LaFleur's program in Green Bay.
Yeah, he learned it from his buddy McVay. So they all do that together, and they don't play in the preseason. And then you wonder why they start the season slow. it's not rocket science. The AFC West is what we'll hit here real quick, and we'll probably have to carry this conversation on to the next segment as well. Kansas City, six primetime games. Makes sense. Defending Super Bowl champions, best player, most popular player in the NFL, and Patrick Mahomes. The Chiefs' schedule to start off seems pretty manageable. Now, every game when you have Mahomes feels manageable because you have the best quarterback in said game here. But what do you make of this AFC West slate, the division that we all thought was going to be a gauntlet a year ago? We could see it bounce back here in 2023 with some improvements in the coaching staff in Denver.
I think Denver will be better, and I think the Raiders with Garoppolo will be better. I think the Raiders will be more improved because I think their locker room will be cohesive. And look, the Raiders, other than the Saint game and the last game against Kansas City, could have won every game down to the final quarter, right? I mean, Tennessee, Pittsburgh, all of them. You can go through the beginning of the season, middle, and the end. So that's why I think the Raiders are on national TV so much, because they have been so competitive, and with Garoppolo can stay healthy, and that's a huge thing for them. They've got to be able to do it. But Kansas City, the question mark on Kansas City is, are they going to be good enough defensively, you know, as they change? You know, they've drafted a bunch of young defensive linemen. Can they come through for him to replace Frank Clark? We'll see. But as long as you got Mahomes and they rebuilt this offensive line, you got to feel like they're going to be a hard team to beat.
How about the Chargers? West Coast team, they have four early kickoffs, 10 a.m. West Coast time over on the East Coast, at the Titans, at the Vikings, and later on in the season, at the Packers, at the Patriots. Sometimes I know we overrate that whole West Coast going East, but it is a little bit of a thing that they'll have to kind of get used to.
Well, I mean, remember, Bill Walsh had a better road record than he did a home record, because he went in and he understood how to take that East Coast trips and handle them better. So we'll see if our boy Staley can do that. Look, I think to me, have the Chargers really improved their team? I think with all the scheduling talk, we lose sight of, can they stop the run? Have they improved their team? I don't know about that. I think that's the question that remains.
Yeah, that's ultimately what's going to determine how these teams do. It's like, are you actually better or are you worse? It's not really the schedule. But the schedule does factor in a little bit here. We saw that with our Eagles last year playing that Gonzaga schedule, as you coined it, heading into last season. We'll talk some more AFC teams on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMG.
This is the Lombardi Line with former NFL executive Michael Lombardi. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The first inning is unpredictable, but you can place a no-run first inning wager with confidence at BetMGM. Make a no-run first inning prop bet on any Friday MLB game, and if only one run is scored in the first, you'll get your stake back in bonus bets up to $20. Take big swings all season long with BetMGM, the king of sportsbooks, and an official sports betting partner of Major League Baseball. Log into your account or sign up with BetMGM today. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly and offer resources to help you make appropriate choices. Visit BetMGM.com for terms and conditions. 21 years of or age of older to wager. New and existing customer offer. Opt-in required. All promotions are subject to qualification and eligibility requirements. Rewards issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets. Bonus bets expire 7 days from issuance. Please gamble responsibly. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Offer not available in Mississippi, Nevada, and New York. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line presented by BetMGM. Femi Abebefe alongside Michael Lombardi. 15 minutes from now to start hour number two, our buddy Vinny Maiulo, Hall of Fame oddsmaker over at the South Point Hotel and Casino, will join us. Talk a little NBA playoffs, NHL playoffs, the schedule. When will the South Point have lines for week number one? We're very excited for that. So we'll talk with Vinny in about 15 minutes. But let's continue our schedule breakdown here, Michael. And we'll go to the AFC North. And the team I was really interested in seeing was the Baltimore Ravens, because the schedule makers had to kind of play this dance with Lamar Jackson, the Ravens, thinking, all right, if they have Lamar, we'll put him in primetime. If they don't have Lamar, we got to come up with a plan B here. Lamar will be the quarterback. However, there's only, looks like, four primetime games for the Baltimore Ravens. So maybe they would have gotten more had Lamar Jackson been more committed to Baltimore earlier in this offseason. But what do you make of the Ravens right now and their win total here in this division, sitting at 9.5, trying to chase down the Cincinnati Bengals?
Well, I mean, you know, part of the schedule, too, is you want to look at September. Can we get off to a good start? You don't need to be 4-0 in September, but you don't want to be 0-4. And, you know, when you open up with the Houston Texans, you know, you got to feel like at home especially, you got really two easy home games to start off with. You got the Houston Texans, you got the Indianapolis Colts. You should win both those games. So, you know, now you got to find a way to win a game against Cincy or a game against Cleveland, both on the road. But I think, to me, that you got to feel good about the Ravens' schedule here, because you want to get it going. One of the things we've always seen is teams that play well in September carry over. And I think that when you have that kind of schedule where you can find a way to win, look at the Giants last year, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they found a way to win early in September, and even though they didn't play well down the stretch, you know, they only win two of those games. They beat Minnesota in a playoff game, but that early start gave them kind of a renewed energy, even though they didn't finish strong.
Yeah, if you can stack wins in September and October, then you can at least build up a little more wiggle room later on down the line when games get tough in November and December. That's the one part that I think people kind of overlook, because yesterday everyone's like, oh, like, we've known the teams and we know who everyone's going to play. Why is this a big deal? I do think that the sequencing of the games is a big deal. And if you can get off to a favorable start, like you said, that could be advantageous to you going forward, though. So I think if you pay attention to those first 7-8 weeks, it's key stuff.
Let's take like Cleveland. They go week two, they go down to Pittsburgh, okay? It's going to be a Sunday. I think it's a Sunday night game. It's a Monday game. Night. They play Pittsburgh on Monday night. Mm-hmm. Then they come back and have to play a Tennessee team. That's wear and tear on your team, right? Pittsburgh's a physical team. So even though you know Pittsburgh, you've played them, there's physicality to what they do and how they coach and teach. Then you're playing Tennessee, which is another team that relies on physicality, all that. So, you know, where are you in that? And Baltimore, when you play Baltimore, it's the same thing. So I think the sequencing does matter in the sense of, you know, you don't want to come after Pittsburgh or after San Francisco or after Baltimore. Those are hard games.
Yeah, you talk about how they play Baltimore. They get their bye week to rest up, and then, oh, they host San Francisco for another war. Like, that's a physical start.
And they got the early bye, which I don't know if really works. You want that bye somewhere after week, you know, 7-8 in that area. But week 5, they get it, and so it doesn't really help you. Then you got to go the long route.
Cincinnati is a team that they've gone to back-to-back AFC title games. They've been right there with Kansas City. They've beaten Kansas City three out of the last four times. This is the quote Burrowhead Stadium and all that stuff after that got quieted in the AFC title game. But the Bengals are among the favorites. What do you make of their schedule when you take a look at this, how they start to their season, their win total sitting at 11.5? They're going to be favored in quite a bit of games.
Well, I mean, look, they, you know, when you start off, they got, you know, they basically have two home games in the middle of September, which helps them tremendously against Baltimore. Got to win. You got to win that. You want to start off the AFC South with a win. And then they got the Rams at home, you know, and then we'll see where Tennessee is in week four. But I think, look, the one thing about the Bengals with Burrow, it may not look pretty, but they find a way. Last year, they kind of didn't get going until the middle of the season. We kind of thought early in the year, we thought they might have had that Super Bowl hangover, and they overcame that, and they kind of got better as the year went on. I think there's going to be a lot of moving parts on defense for them because they've lost so many of their defensive players, especially in the back end. I think that's another thing we have to take into account when we're handicapping these teams in September or early in the year is there's going to be some continuity. There's going to be some growing pains. Teams are going to need to know who they are as their opponents learn who they're playing.
And I think from a betting standpoint, that's an excellent point because you mentioned last year with Cincinnati, they started the year 4-4. They got their tails kicked Halloween night in Cleveland 32-13. They went on to run the table until the AFC title game. And if you were paying attention, you could have got the Bengals at like plus 300 or so to win the AFC North at that time. It just goes to show you what these markets still being open and these teams have tough starts. Maybe don't completely write them off. They can always right those wrongs in the second half of the season.
Yeah, I think that's, you know, it's, again, you're trying to build momentum into the later part of the year, and that's what the Bengals did last year, whereas the Giants kind of built it early and then they ran out of gas because the Giants caught people a little off guard on how they played and how they approached. Mm-hmm. That's the hard part when you're playing a new team, especially when you're playing a team with a new coach. How does he want to handle this? How are the coordinators going to call the game? You know, it takes some tape. Once the September's month is over, we've got four tapes. Nobody can hide anymore. There's no secrets anymore in the league. You know, Sean Payton can hide what he wants to do in Denver, you know, and the defensive coordinator can hide what he wants to do, you know, Vance Joseph. But at the end of the day, once you play through September, there's no more hiding.
In the AFC South, the Jacksonville Jaguars are the odds-on favorites to repeat as division champions. And I'm not sure if you saw this quirk there in Jacksonville's schedule, Michael. They start the year on the road at Indianapolis. They don't play another true road game until October 19th in week number 7. Because they have those back-to-back London games in there, they got a couple other home games. So their first road game is September 10th. Their next true road game will be at New Orleans October 19th. That's an interesting setup to start the year.
Yeah, and they're going to go to London, and we're going to see if they can get acclimated to playing two games over in London and see how that works out for them. And, you know, and as they go through this, I think this is the first step towards us getting an international team, maybe in 5 years, maybe in 10 years, who knows. But I do think this is an experiment. We're going to see if a team can stay over there, how they work, how they practice, what they do. And, you know, the stadium that's going on in Jacksonville, they're going to, I think they're remodeling some parts of it. Mm-hmm. And I think there's going to be maybe next year, it may not even be able to be used. So I think that's a giant step. Look, the one thing we know about the AFC set, the South, is we've got a lot of changes going on. You know, even though we have stability with Vrabel and Doug Peterson, you know, we got a new coach in Indianapolis, Shane Steichen. We got a new coach in Houston in DeMeco Ryans. But we also have new coordinators. We also have a lot of changes with the team. And those changes affect you. And I think it's going to take a while to see. Is Houston going to go with Davis Mills or Case Keenum? Or are they going to let Stroud go? I think that remains to be seen.
Yeah, C.J. Stroud, it might be a tough start to the season. I mean, you talk about at Baltimore week one if he's the starter. Home for the Colts, but then you'd be at the Jacksonville Jaguars in week number three there. Then home against the Pittsburgh Steelers. Not the easiest set of four games for a rookie quarterback to play. Maybe they wait to ease him into it, or maybe they go ahead and start him since they got their guy, as every team did at the top of the draft there. On the Jacksonville note, I did think that with the NFL doing those back-to-back international games, I thought they really dodged one, not having to go to Western New York and go to Buffalo, because that counts as one of their road games. And say you play that road game in London, you don't have to worry about, wow, we might have to play
it's
in a snowstorm or something. Yeah, exactly.
Right.
The Jags fans are all in UK.
They love it over there. They actually probably make more noise than the Jacksonville fans do. So, yeah, I agree with you there. And, you know, it gives you an advantage. I mean, look, you know, the Miami gets to play Kansas City in Germany, which is a lot better than playing an Arrowhead and having to deal with the crowd noise.
Yeah, Don't get Duval County mad at you now, all right? you don't want Duval County. I mean,
that stadium in London, I mean, that was packed last year. I don't, you know, they're into it. Germany, too. Now, that'll be an interesting – those games will be interesting over there because those fans were really into it. I remember they stayed after the game for like an hour, and Brady went back out on the field like he was doing an encore.
Yeah, let's run it back, Seattle. Let's play another game.
Yeah.
And I think those fans love the Jaguars because the Jaguars have gone overseas every single year, going back, like, what, 7, 8 years now? So, like, they know that team pretty well, and they have a lot of fans over in the UK. So if any team were to have a home crowd advantage overseas, it'd be Jacksonville. So we'll see if they can get that home crowd advantage against the Buffalo Bills.
Yeah, I mean, again, it's going to take, you know, Jacksonville's one of those teams. They got to get that offensive line settled because of what's happened, the suspension, and see if they get Harrison as the rookie to come in and play right away. That's going to be critical.
Yeah, we'll see if Trayvon Walker, the number one pick a couple years ago, can make that step too, because that pass rush needs some help as well. That does it for hour number one. Hour number two, we're kicking it off with our buddy Vinny Maiulo from the South Point Hotel and Casino.